Our passage of scripture this evening is Romans 1, and I'll be reading verses 18 through 32. Romans 1, verses 18 through 32. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but approve of those who practice them. This morning, we learned that our Lord Jesus Christ became a human being, became a man, in order to declare God to us, to exegete God. Now, the knowledge of God, theology, the study of God, was once called the queen of sciences. Today, fools, atheists, tells us that that theology is not a science at all. If you look up the queen of sciences or theology now on the internet, the first thing you'll see is a bunch of websites denying that theology is science at all. Usually, this is because of a presupposition of anti-supernaturalism, which sadly in our world rules the day today. People define science in such a way that the very definition of science eliminates God, eliminates the miraculous, eliminates anything supernatural. Even in churches, theology is often neglected or even fought against, and especially when you're talking about accurate Bible-based or a systematic theology. People don't want to deal with it. Even when they're taught some theology, we don't like theology because it's divisive. I'd rather debate six times a day with somebody who had a heart for theology and the Bible than be in a church where nobody cared what I preached because they didn't have any theology. They just wanted to be there at church. Theology, as we said this morning, is the study of God, and God gives us the fullness. He's the Christ is the fulfillment of every promise, and He gives us grace to grace. Without theology, we don't know Christ. We don't know God the Father. And so my first point today is knowing God is eternal life. And we talked about that this morning. What is not knowing God? What is rejecting the knowledge of God? As I quoted as part of the sermon today, John 17:3, Jesus is praying and He says, "This is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent." What if we don't know? What if we reject the knowledge of God? Well, one, if we reject the knowledge of God, if you reject the knowledge of God, you are inviting God's wrath upon yourself. Here it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals." Note, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, and I spoke about this last week, but this is another sermon, a different direction. Sins directly against God are ungodliness, that's what they're called, and unrighteousness is that second part of the law that deals with sins that we have among each other. So having no other gods before Me is an example of ungodliness. We're not to have any other gods before Him. And an example of unrighteousness is thou shalt not steal, or thou shalt not commit adultery, or thou shalt not kill. And we have those. I talked about that last week. These people here, verse 18, suppress the truth. That means they are liars, and they believe in lies. They want to keep the truth down. The knowledge of God is obvious from His creation. Even His eternal power and Godhead, those who neglect, ignore, or reject that knowledge of God without excuse. So if you're somebody who lives in some place where there's no gospel, and we often hear this, you know, I've heard this since I was a young Christian. What about the poor heathen in Africa? Well, one thing, the heathen in Africa, a lot of them have heard the gospel. The other thing is, the poor heathen in Africa, even if they haven't heard the gospel, whether they're in Africa or China or whatever nation, they might not hear the gospel. There is a witness from creation that leaves men without excuse for their sin. They should know from creation itself that there is a Creator, that He is all-powerful. It says that we should know His invisible power and Godhead. Here, Paul says these once knew God. Verse 21, they became fools. Verse 22, they distorted God's image. Verse 23. We distort God's image today when we say God didn't create, but evolution created. It's almost like the idols that they used to have, statues of animals. Now we have animals, not necessarily statues, but they created us because we evolved out of them. And nature is sometimes worshipped that way. Note what is wrong with this neglect or rejection of God. Verse 21, they do not glorify God. Verse 21, they are not thankful to God. We're created to glorify Him. That's why He made us. We should be thankful to Him because He's given us everything we have. They became futile in their thoughts, in their thinking. Imada iothesin. Basically empty-headed, brainless numbskulls. Their empty-headed thinking is opposite of the fullness of Jesus Christ and his teaching. I talked a little bit about this in Sunday school. I like this particular verse in contrast to today, this morning. We have fullness in Christ. We have full wisdom given by God the Father through the witness of Christ as he declares who God is. When we neglect this knowledge, we are called in Scripture empty-headed. We are called, like it says in Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, these people will say, no, we're the smart ones, you're the ignorant ones, because we don't believe as they do. Sir Isaac Newton, who would pass as a scientist, I think, I'm quoting him here, he who thinks half-heartedly will not believe in God. But he who really thinks has to believe in God. So if we really think, according to Isaac Newton, we will believe in God. We will believe in a creator. They claim wisdom, but are fools. The Greek word here for fool is one that you all know. It's from the root moros, which from where we get our word moron. And I think moron is actually one of the forms of that word. Moron is what, I don't know why we don't use the word moron. It fits, other than that's such a, it's even lower than fool, isn't it? And yet it's the word that's there in the Greek that's just transliterated into English and it's become an English word. They distort the image of God, meaning verse 23, making him all these beasts. That's what the ungodly do. That's what they do when they reject God's knowledge. When we reject theology, and some of this we see when, as a nation, we decide not to have the Bible and prayer in school or in government. We reject that knowledge of God. The second point is what God does to such people who reject his knowledge and theology. Well, verse 24 and 25, it says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what's against nature. Likewise also, the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And then look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And I've read this earlier. All these lists of sins, it's part of God's judgment. God gave them over to a debased mind. Why do people today believe and say it's science that men can get pregnant and have babies? God has given them over to a debased mind. They've lost their morality. They fought against God. Now they're saying men can have babies. And I've heard them say, this is science. How in the world is that science? It's not. Three times we are told in this passage that I kind of read but skimmed over at the end, that God gives people up. This is the judgment of God. He gives people up to their own thinking, to their own ways. And as he gives them up, they get bad and worse. In verses 24 and 25, we see he gives them up to uncleanness, to lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies, and to worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. In verse 26, we see that God gives them up to vile passions. It says women gave up the natural use, and some say this is talking about lesbianism, but some also say, you know, the natural use of the woman is to bear children, and it just, it's all it's saying at first is that they decide not to have children, and that's the natural use of the woman. So there's no interest in childbearing, and feminism ultimately starts to rule, and maybe even lesbianism. But then with the men, it says men, in verse 27, burned in lust for one another. And it's definitely talking about homosexuality. And what it's saying is this is not, these are not sins that God is judging. This is judgment that leads to sin. The sin that God is judging is not retaining God in their knowledge, not wanting to study theology, refusing to believe in God, refusing to be thankful to God, refusing to glorify God. God gives them up to their own ways, and so they give up having babies. They decide to be feminists. They decide to be homosexuals. Why? Because God has judged them already. They've been given a debased mind. And that's the last part. It says a debased mind. The Greek word is adokimos, meaning corrupt. Their mind is corrupt. It means this mind is not working. There's something wrong with it. This mind is disqualified from its regular purpose, which is ultimately to glorify God and do its work. The mind is given up to every kind of sin. You know, see the list there, 28 to 32, it's practically what we read in the news. Murder and homosexuality and all kinds of sexual things and backbiting and disobedience to parents and all this stuff which we see running rampant around us today is God's judgment. It's not something that we can look at and say, God's going to judge us pretty soon because of all this stuff. No, it's we look at this and we should be saying, God has already judged us, and this is what is the result of it. These people have a depraved, debased mind. They've been judged by God. They had not wanted, they did not want to honor God. They didn't want to glorify Him. They did not want to study His word, and God gave them over. He gave them up, ultimately, to this debased mind, which leads to every kind of sin. When people are living for their lusts, when feminism and homosexuality rule the day, when every kind of sin is more and more practiced and even celebrated, this means that God has already judged someone or judged the society, which I think He has judged us. What a fearful thing it is to be given up to a debased mind. I think when I look at the scripture, I think that's one of the scariest things. Do you want to be this? Do you want to be given up to a debased mind so that you're controlled not by God, not by His rule, not by His laws, but by your own lusts and your own sins, and you can't fight it at all. What is being judged here is our not glorifying God, our not thanking Him, our not acknowledging Him, our not worshiping Him, are not ascribing Him the worth He deserves with time, with seeking. You know, it says, you will seek me and find me. When? When you search for me just a little bit? When you search for me with all your heart. When we don't give Him prayer and time in prayer. When we don't make Him a priority and His kingdom a priority. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do you fear Alzheimer's disease? We should, if we fear Alzheimer's disease, we should fear a debased mind more than that. It's a mindset that ultimately draws a person to death and to hell. Romans 8, 5 through 8 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity is something that's even greater than hatred, because hatred can sometimes be appeased, but enmity is hatred that cannot be appeased. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Have you seen any enmity against God in our world today? There's a lot of it. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, number three, how might we avoid the judgment of a debased mind? Well, number one, avoid like the plague ungodly counsel and teaching. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And when we think of these, you know, I've talked about Psalm 1 many times. I've preached on it a few times. But just to review a little bit, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. The ungodly person is the least of these three as far as being sinful. The ungodly is just the person who's not fervent in prayer. They're not excited about reading the word. They are just ungodly. They're like the Laodiceans. They're lukewarm. They're neither cold nor hot. That's the ungodly. And here the psalmist is saying, do not follow the counsel of the ungodly. The people who say, as a Christian, yeah, you could go to church, but you don't need to go every week. Once a month is plenty, even Easter or New Year's, or Christmas, I mean, you can go to church, but you don't need to go all the time. That's the ungodly. They're not necessarily telling you to be an atheist. They're not telling you to do some great sin. They're just telling you you don't need to be that holy, that righteous. Standing in the path of sinners obviously goes further. It means you're taking your stand with the sinners. You're standing with them and you're not going to church anymore. I refuse to be with those hypocrites, the standing in the path of sinners says. And then sitting in the seat of the scornful. Sitting means you're relaxed there. And you're scornful. This is the atheist who says, I don't believe in God. And they ultimately commit all these sins that are mentioned in Romans 1. That's what we're to avoid, but also we are to major in God's word. Delight in God's word. Give the study of God your time and effort. Here it says, verse 2 of Psalm 1, but delight in the law, but his delight, this is the godly, blessed, happy man, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Do you wake up at night and pick up your Bible? Do you wake up at night and pray? This is how we should be. All the time, wanting to learn more about Jesus. And whenever we're not like this, we should pray that God will make us like this again. Sometimes even godly people can backslide. We see it even with David when he was a man after God's own heart, but he backslid terribly. And that's why he fell with Bathsheba. And he hurt himself spiritually. He hurt his family. And even his nation because of that sin. Fortunately for him, he was forgiven. And, you know, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. And we can be forgiven too. And God can bring us back. But we should not let ourselves get to that way. Seek to know God. Jeremiah 9:23 and 24 says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord. This is who we should be. Those who count theology, the queen of the sciences. It's the most important thing that we need to know, more important than chemistry or physics or economics. All these things are less important. It's more important than being a man of might and having big muscles. It's more important than having a lot of money. It's more important than being the one who has power over other people. It's more important that we know God. And when we know God, all the blessings that I talked about this morning from the fullness of Christ are growing from grace to grace and having grace on top of grace come to us. Realize even just acknowledging the basics about God makes a huge difference in a sin-filled world. God is our creator. It says in verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse." When we understand that God is our creator, one of the things, this is just one of many, is that we, being his people, created in his image, it means he designed us. He made us for a purpose. Not only that, but he made us, and this is part of B here, he made us male and female. And so being created in his image, we are highly privileged. We are over the animals. We are even, in some sense, over the angels. He gave us dominion over the other creatures in this world, and therefore we have responsibility in this world. And our responsibility means our mistakes go beyond us. They hurt the whole creation. Our responsibility is to God and not to these creatures. We don't bow down to the earth. We're to dominate it, to fill the earth and subdue it. That's what we're called to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Do we have a lot of people in the world saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it? No, they're saying, the world is too populated already. We need less and less people. We need not to subdue the earth. We need to let it grow all around us. And the very people that often say that, they will have their own dominion of the earth in their area where they have their own private jet and their own mansion and their own place. But they'd have the rest of us live like animals naked in the jungle. They're hypocrites. The way we are created, male and female, enables reproduction. It enables being fruitful and multiplying. And the current confusion about gender, to the point that even a Supreme Court nominee could not define what a woman is. When you think of that, it's a debased mind, isn't it? We've been given up to a debased mind. Maybe she could have actually defined it, but in her mind she didn't want to take the risk because there would be other people that would have not liked her saying a woman is what a woman is. Because men can be women now, according to our depraved mind. Girls are forced to take showers, to dress in locker rooms with biological males, even according to an executive order from our president. These things show that we as a nation, at least a large part of us, have been given up to a debased mind. And what is the cure for this? The cure is getting back to God, back to his word, back to prayer, and encouraging others to do the same. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage. I thank you for how this passage tonight, talking about the emptiness of atheism, the emptiness of rejecting theology, in contrast to the fullness that we find in Christ, the grace upon grace. It's such a stark contrast and such an important thing for us to notice. And so, Father, we pray that we would be those people who grow from grace to grace, who get stronger day by day, and that we might know more than we knew yesterday. And Father, all of us, at times we've sinned, we've backslidden, we haven't always loved you with all our heart, soul, mind, and might. And so, Father, we pray you'd forgive our backsliding. Pray you'd forgive us for our sins, whatever kinds they are, that we might be those who seek you out wholeheartedly and do your will each and every day. And Father, help us to do that, and help us to be witnesses to those around us. Father, we live in a dark, dark world where you've judged, I say, most of the people around us. And Father, they might not even come when we witness or share to them, but we do pray that you'd make us witnesses. Help us to be shining lights in a dark world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.